my dear eternal Father, we have been thy presence to ask you in spirit and truth. Thankful that you have granted unto us the preservation of thy word, hath illuminated unto thy household throughout all ages, through thy spoken voice and through the guidance of thy patriarchs and thy prophets, the raising up of thy priesthood and the establishment of thy ministers, the testimony of thy purpose. You have made known through the channels of thy word and through the processes of thy spirit what it is that you purpose to do in the earth. That you have made known also the identity of thy household, that they might know who it is and what it is that they are addressing and how they say, Our Father which art in heaven. We thank thee for the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, and the realization that the establishment of thy kingdom, which is thy purpose, shall be brought to pass. None shall stay and none shall hinder it because thou art God. Cause us to realize, Our Father, that while we are in the midst of these conditions and crises that sweep the world, that thy kingdom is also emerging and shall not be destroyed. We shall witness the final triumph in the host of heaven, joining with thy family both in heaven and earth for the accomplishments of the victories of thy kingdom. As we meditate upon these situations that surround us, may we lift up the standards under thy guidance, which carries out the objectives of thy purpose in the great nations of thy kingdom. May we bind the darkness that will not conform to the blueprints of thy purpose, and may we eliminate all that will not accept the pattern of thy law. So we say, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven, and that we ask it. Amen. We turn this afternoon to our subject, the word of truth. Probably this becomes a very vital, necessary area of Bible understanding. These hours of simulated crisis upon the part of demagogues and forces of darkness, it would seek to spread across the nations of the world the concept now of a total pattern of integration in which all nations and all races are brought together, all peoples are integrated into one program, both as a world religion and a world philosophy, while the political and social and economic world passed into a hand of satanic elite. And by this process, the program of Antichrist comes in. It's a very cute plan. It's something they have designed to bring to pass. And the discernment of this has been known unto the Most High God from the beginning, because they do nothing under the sun that he does not know. And thus, with a blueprint of prophecy, he was able to unveil unto John on the Isle of Patmos the areas of their strategy and the levels to which they would go. But under these instances, knowing their nature and their processes, he also knew the power of his kingdom. He knew also the capacities of his sons and daughters to resist, and even selected them for the environment they were to live in. And who knew their capacity for achievement and victory. Thus prophecy is built around the addition of spiritual power and of the entity of divine purpose. But out of that mind that synthesized all substance and has been continually creating and making throughout his universe, only this directivity brings all particles together and sends even a mental energy unit like the Mentoid to the nucleus of the atom, that determines and balances the course of the universe. That is nothing in its direction that he is not capable of establishing. What he's established this with his will and with his law throughout all time. It's a significant thing that over in the Gospel of John, it talks about how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The use of this word, Logos, of the Word, is the eternal, immutable authority of that vision of intellect and personality, which not only forms the substance and synthesizes out of its sheer energy the patterns of the universe, but can bring to total completion everything which he has designed to do. Any God less than this would not be satisfactory. Any God less than this would not be total authority throughout his universe. Any God less than that would not be the God of this book. And when we talk to you about this book, this is your book, this isn't China's book, this isn't Africa's book, this is the book that belongs to the children of the kingdom, and it's only part of the total revelation of the things that God has unveiled unto you and to your race since you have existed in the earth. In the instances of making declaration concerning the word of truth, it is important for us to understand the purpose and the plan of God in the earth. And we have cited in the past that there has existed rebellion in God's universe with his knowledge. He even limited how far it would be permitted to go, and then turned the mighty archangel of his command, Michael, to defeating the powers of darkness. And though Lucifer in his rebellion was able to scatter it to one-third of the sidereal systems of the Milky Way, he was swept out of the skies by the mighty hosts of the Most High, and then all of that total evil was concentrated in the earth. When we recognize that, we would therefore classify the fact that the most evil place in all the universe is the earth. because all evil is concentrated here. Greater catastrophe in principle and violation of law then would exist here. Greater energies and vibrations of such evil would be stronger here than any place in the earth. And when we discern what has transpired in the past out of the records of antiquity, the chaos and catastrophes, the sinking continents, the rocking earth, are but some of the tensions and the pressures and the vibrations and the conflicts that sweep this continent and this planet. No wonder it is then that in the course of God's pattern of time, that even though early creations have been subverted to Luciferian power, and the powers of darkness have sought the mutation of the peoples of the species of the earth, even though every conflict of divine law was centered here, God said, we're going to have a victory here, and before the foundation of the world made assurance unto you and I as his celestial children that he would embody us in the earth and he would send us here to finish the task. Oh, the story of the Adamic race has been one of conflict from the beginning. It's been one of the strategies of the enemy seeking to bring about its total seduction. It was the design to mongrelize it, to diffuse it with the tree of knowledge and good and evil, the race tree of rebellion. Of all the trees which were for herbs and for fruit and for food value in the garden, you were told you could eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the racial intermixture with even fallen societies or fallen angels and their hosts that had not kept the first estate or any other species upon the face of the earth had been forbidden. It is important that men understand the word of truth, because God knows everything he made, everything he put in this universe, and he is continually synthesizing and developing by selecting and reforming and grouping according to his will. If you understand the word of truth, you understand the purpose of God for the earth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free from all areas and philosophies and all strategies of darkness. The world order and all that consists within it is not a part of your background. You are the children of the kingdom and the household of the Most High God, are not of the world, though you are in it. You have been taken out from among it, but you are not a part of it. When I talk about the world, I'm not just referring to the environment of the forest, the trees, the oceans, the creation, the work of God, but I'm talking about the sum total of those forces that have established themselves as an authority or a power or a kingdom, the sum total of all the opposition to God and his universe, and it's focused right here. So therefore, there is one thing that you might say today, that when God selected you to dwell in this earth, and has selected you to dwell in it at this time, he had utter confidence in your background, in your synthesis, in your inheritance, in your culture, and in the capacities of his spirit and that living word which dwells in you to be sufficient for this hour. If ever there was a challenge to people that they carry the honor of the family, and they carry the family name, for in the name of our Father, both the whole family in heaven and earth is named, there rests upon us not, my friends, the acceptance of a philosophy of defeat, but there rests upon us the responsibility of assuming our recognition of our identity to carry forward to complete victory, the overthrowing of the darkness, the lifting up of divine standards, and the reorganization. We point out to you that the scriptures tell us one of the great necessities, and I think this is the one place where the church errs today, is in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm rather ashamed of a lot of clergy today when I see the stand they take and the things they support, which are not the word of truth, but have become actually the propaganda voice of the world order. Instead, therefore, of challenging the church as the army of Christ, as the great spiritual force that must capture, guide, direct, and lead the minds of man, that has asked us to submit and to acquiesce and to fuse ourselves with our enemy, and even now talks about togetherness between the United States and the Soviet Union. God forbid that we ever join that close to the Antichrist. It's time to start separating this thing right now. In the instances of this policy, we point out that the direction of God is, come out from among them and be ye separate, be ye segregated. This is a part of the pattern of divine law. When we talk about the truth, it is this image of truth that is very vital for you. According to the fact that you are the household of the Most High God, and therefore, according as he has selected you in him before the foundation of the world, chosen you,
that you should be holy without blame and love, and predestinated you even to the time that you were to live in the earth.
You can turn back to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians and you'll discover this is what it says. And therefore, ye you who first trusted, ye have heard also the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. Also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise, the cognition of this in your consciousness when you became aware again of your relationship to God and His purpose. But these are things which you had had when you were with Him before the foundation of the world, and had brought back to your consciousness, embodied in a physical body, since the early surrender and fall of your race. When we talk about the areas of divine purpose, I want you to recognize that the Adamic race, the white race, and the people that constitute today white Christian civilization are the people, of course, which He had selected for this hour to bring in His kingdom. The one said, well, God doesn't make any selection. Well, you're about to discover that no one makes more selection, discriminates more than God does. And you can be happy for that today. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above and from He who is the Father of all light, the children of light and all light and vibration. All the celestial or spiritual world is synthesized out of light particles, even as the physical world that you now see is synthesized out of electronic particles. The celestial world is out of light particles, and spirits are begotten in light. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And out of His own will, out of the very synthesis of His own Spirit, begat He us with this eternal word of form that shall not be denied. Therefore, there is something that abides in you that can never be taken away. Because that word abides in you, you have a capacity to perceive the thoughts of His mind. Because that word abides in you, you possess and have a capacity for eternal life. Now we turn to the words of John, the beloved apostle, who the Jews don't like because he's very, very frank. They don't like what he writes in his gospel. They don't like what he writes in his epistles. And I don't care what they don't like because I don't like them either. I read here these words from John writing as the apostle. And he said, therefore, I write unto you fathers. Now listen, this is John writing. I write unto you fathers because ye have known Him from the beginning. I write unto you fathers because ye have known Him from the beginning. Because you were with Him before the worlds were framed. You were there when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, according to the book of Job. You are the Elohim of the eternal Father, who turned and said, we shall even form in the earliest creation man in our own image. Listen to these words. Therefore, John said, I write unto you fathers because ye have known Him from the beginning. And then I write unto you young men, for ye overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. Oh, someone said, well, this is the reason why John was writing this, was because some of these people were there at the beginning of Christianity and these little children had just been born. How would you explain that? This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the beginning. He's talking about the great creative era, the Logos. Listen. He says, therefore I write unto you fathers because ye have known Him from the beginning. I write unto you children because ye have known the Father. When did they know the Father? Because they were with the Father before the world was framed. There isn't anybody in this room that wasn't with the Father before the world was framed, unless they belong to the Luciferian house and then the wrong church. So it's that we might convert them. We don't waste any time trying to convert devil's children. This is what's wrong with the church now. They try to convert the devil's children. They got too many of the devil's family inside the church making trouble. So it's that don't we want to convert the devil? Not in this era, because there's a lot of things that have to take place before that, and we'll take first things first. Therefore, he said, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him, that is from the beginning, and I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have known Him from the beginning. Little children, these are the last times.
You've also heard how Antichrist shall come. And even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that we are in the last days. Those that have gone out from us, they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. And this is why they went out, that it might be manifested they were not of us. They join themselves for a moment. They speak of brotherhood. They draw close to the church. And then in their design, they deceive. And then they move out because they have no part in it. What John's talking about was in his time, there were those that attached themselves to the church for their own advantage, but the fact remains they were not of the household, they were not of the race. The best way to establish it was that after they had walked with the church, they repudiated the church and the deity of Christ. Of course, this is a normal Jewish trait. Now, John the Apostle said, but you who were with him in the beginning, you are the household to whom I write. He says, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Did you know that? Did you know that you know all things? Oh, you say, well, sometimes I think I do, and then I find out I don't. No, you know all things. The Spirit that is in you was with the Father before the world was created. You are Spirit of His Spirit, the life of His life, and you know all things. Your soul consciousness, resident in this physical body, whose ego has developed and grown up since your babyhood, is not aware of all things, but it's aware of all the sum total of the experiences which it has recognized as experienced since it has dwelt in the earth. It is also inherited in the background of its chromatin remembrance, the sum total of the experienced remembrances in the chromatin from its forebears. And these can be activated in the seat of consciousness, but this is not willfully done by the soul, except in those experiences which it had in its own lifetime. But the celestial spirit that is with you, and that mind of the spirit that is in you, was with the Father before the world was framed. Knows how it was put together, knows all about it, knows all things. So one of the scriptures says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There is no single door to knowledge or wisdom that the Father would leave closed before you, unless in your design for its use the stewardship would not be correct. And by this process, if the design was not in accord with the stewardship, the unction of perception would never permit you to discover it. But you possess the knowledge of all things. John understood this because a beloved disciple that had been taught and guided of God, even the synthesis of poor translation, was unable to obscure the fact that he well understood that those that constituted the family of God and the house of God had spiritual capacities beyond anybody on the face of the earth. He knew who they were, knew who they were from the beginning, knew what they were here for. He had had the testimony of Christ as well as the great apostolic ministry of the Apostle Paul, carried into the heavens and back again to write in his Apocalypse and in his many treaties, which we have today as his epistles to the church, the great mysteries surrounding these things. So he said, therefore, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I know you know all things, even if you don't know you know all things. Now John makes this statement. He said, I have not written you because ye know not the truth, but I have written you because you know it. And you know that no lie is of the truth. Now, this is an interesting thing. Some people thought that John was spending his time trying to evangelize people that didn't have the capacity and didn't know, was trying to gather the Hottentots and the Asiatics from one end of the world to the other, and he said, no. He says, I wrote unto you because you know the truth. This is why I wrote to you. I didn't bother to write to people that didn't have any spiritual capacity. Apostle Paul said the Spirit of God wouldn't let me go to Asia either. So what have we been doing in Asia? Well, that's what we'd like to find out. We have carried to the ends of the earth, wherever the trail of white men may have traveled, the gospel of the true God of the universe. But if you thought you could synthesize these people into your race or into your family merely because you'd borne testimony to who the true God was, this, my friends, was one of the greatest mistakes of misapplied theology. Now today, the world has fought you with a semantics. It's worked at this today. This semantics is the formulation of words and associates with ideas to try to bring recrimination upon anyone that unveils the Word of God. And if you say, thus saith the Lord, then they don't like you. They say, if you say, thus saith the Lord, then they say you're a hate monger. But they hate you. Strange, my friends, who turns most of the hate loose? Let me assure you this. intelligent selection and discrimination is only a reflection of the wisdom of God's Spirit moving through you for the preservation of His kingdom and the elevation of your society. Anything less than that wouldn't be a reflection of the thought of your Father, who discriminated and selected above all others from one end of the book to the other.
Let me point this out to you.
Who then is those that do not possess the truth that I don't like to, John says? Why, I don't like to these liars that deny that Jesus is the Christ, for they are anti-Christ that deny that Jesus is the Christ. And he said they are the progeny of the wicked one.
Now John says concerning you, little children, I want you to know that who you are. You abide in him, and therefore he that committeth these violations in the areas of their actual inner being is of the evil one. But whosoever was begotten of God doth not transgress, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot transgress because he's born of God.
Or you say, well, I see people, even good people, that make mistakes once in a while and they transgress. No, my friends, these are errors they may be making in transgression in the physical world, but what the apostle, what John here is talking about is that those that were synthesized in the Spirit of the Father, born of incorruptible seed, are not corruptible in this spiritual background with these spiritual capacities. But there are an offspring which are forever dedicated to the processes of evil, and the forces out of their celestial nature direct them to the course of evil, because they are the progeny of the wicked one. For this cause, then, we listen to the words of John, and he said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that you might destroy the works of the devil. But he said, I want you to know that this is the message we heard from the beginning. We are not as Cain, who was the progeny of the wicked one. That's why we've got Canaanites running around with hop shops, international banks, World Monetary Fund, United Nations, Zionism, communism, and everything else is evil.
Well, they shouldn't have said that. Well, would be no point in discussing the matter if we can't identify the Canaanites today. Now listen. Let us for a moment, therefore, realize that because ye have the unction of the Holy One, because ye are the seed of the Most High, because ye have been with Him from the beginning, the world, which hated Him, actually hates you. And if you think that you're going to get the world to like you, you're foolish.
And since they're not going to like you, and they plan on absorbing you and destroying you, you better carry out your Father's mission and take over and rule it with law and make sure that they obey.
Let me go over to the words of Jesus in His writings in the book of John. But in this you'll discover that the word of truth carries the blueprint for victory. The word of truth is seated deep in your heart. The word of truth is the one thing that when you're in conflict with it, people have an uneasiness. You wonder why today we have so many people that need psychiatrists and psychologists to constantly adjust them. It's because they have not been meditating and adjusting their consciousness with the word of truth. What they need, my friends, are pastors that know the gospel instead of psychiatrists that want to deliver them over to the modern philosophy of a world order that will do nothing for them. Listen. Jesus talks here in the 15th chapter of John, and he said in the 16th verse, you know, speaking about the selection of God, he said, you know, you have not chosen me. A lot of preachers think that they went out and persuaded a bunch of people to choose God. You never chose God in your life. Did you know that? He said, what do you mean? I'm a free moral agent. You may be, but you're the first one. He said, that's taught my church. Well, then your church is still wrong. The first place, no one's free till they're set free by God, and they're only immortal because of the work of the Spirit, and God doesn't have agents. He has sons and daughters. And He carries out the quickening of the human consciousness by pouring out more spiritual energy to accomplish this result. He says, I call my sheep by name and I lead them out. And He says, ye haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained that you should go forth and bring forth much fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Now I want you to know, he that hateth me in the body hateth me in all the fatherhood of my deity. Then he tells you a little bit about this situation. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now think this over. I listened to a silly preacher on the air the other day that needed to go back to a theological kindergarten. He says, you know, these preachers that people don't like, or these preachers that that can't get along with the world order and can't get along with Providence, the United Nations, is there something wrong with them? He says, what's wrong with them is that they can't get along because they don't have a get-along nature. Well, I guess Jesus didn't have a get-along nature then. Because he didn't come down here to get along with the world. He came down here to redeem the earth, his sons and his daughters, put the world back in order, save it from its catastrophe, but he didn't come down here to get along with his conspiracy. So listen to what he said. He said, if they hate you, they hated me. If ye were of the world would love you. Because they love their own. Even when they cut one another's throat, they still love you. You know, I see these little serpents out of the cockatrice's den, and they do have something in common. Every once in a while, they swallow up one another, you know. He says, therefore, if the world loves its own, this is natural. If you're not of the world, and I have chosen you, riding out of the midst of all these things, and they know that, and they hate you. Now, I want you to know, he that hateth me hates the fullness of God. Agronomos, the great Father, Spirit of all light and substance of the universe. He that hates me hates that, Jesus said. Now, he makes this further declaration. He says, therefore, when I send the Paraclete, it's translated here, Comforter, when I send this is the Spirit of the eternal creating Father, quickening your consciousness, coming down on you. And it's going to bear witness back to your consciousness, and you're going to remember these things because you have been with me since the beginning. 17th chapter of John, in the humanity of his ministry, the man Christ Jesus communes with the Spirit that fills him, for the fullness of God dwells bodily in him, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Colossians. And in this declaration of that communion, he talks about you. And in his humanity, he said to the Spirit, thine they were in the heavens, mine they are in the earth. And I haven't lost any of them, and I'm not going to lose any of them. And don't take them out of the world. We've got to finish the project. Don't take them out of the world. Keep them in it. There's no other savoring influence. There's no other salt of the earth. And I tell you, there is no other hope of civilization and culture outside of God's plan and purpose. And you are that people who must rise to accomplish this. And in this struggle which is ahead, which gathers beyond anything that's happened in the past, the whole weight of the divine order moves to your side. See, how do you know? Because we have the Word. We have it committed unto us before the foundation of the world. We have it committed unto us in the ministry of Christ. We have it committed unto us in His prophecy and in the abiding of His Spirit. We have it working within us until we have no fear that we shall not try it. You know, people get overwhelmed by things. And the most strange thing is that they get overwhelmed by things that people make. I talked to a patriot of sorts, a real patriot in his house. Pretty good patriot when he thought over the issues because he thought on the right side because the word of God was abiding in him. As he was coming over a high freeway and looked out over that massive city, he saw all those buildings and all those cities and all those roads and all those factories and all those people. He said, so many of them don't know anything about it. How can we win? So much of this is not controlled by us, and look at its size. How can we win? This is only one city. Let me tell you something. There's 149 million people in the side of these United States that have the word of truth inside whether they know it or not. And that's the majority. And when the Spirit of God synthesizes that with the holy fire of divine purpose, this country is going to come alive as you have never witnessed anything for God. How are we going to win? I'm not awed by the things we've made. We can make them again. You know, the things that awe me are the mighty power of God that holds the universe together. The whole sidereal system is going. There's more force exerted than that and all the energies of building a city. In any point of time.
You know, sometimes we become so awed by the things we've made, and when Babylon has been behind the control of many of these things, people subordinate their own opportunities and capacities to what they see. Let me tell you something, my friends. It is thought under the power of spirit guiding motion that takes over and rules and establishes order.
There have been great edifices of the past.
Great empires have erected great marble buildings whose columns we can see today in ruins. The majesty that was ancient Egypt has dwindled away, though its war chariots swept the earth. The Assyrian empires that controlled from the days of the Torah down to the struggles with your race once swept the world, today dwindle and are broken except for their regathering in the eternal hordes that are Jew-controlled in the communist masses. But I point out to you that all of these things that men synthesize could be broken and disintegrate, but there is something that God has synthesized out of birth and out of spirit and out of a dynamic that He's planted in the earth that has never been destroyed. And this is a part of that word of truth that guarantees the security of your eventual liberties and achievements. For I look over all kingdoms that have come and gone. I look over the impact that has been the impact of time and struggle. And I find them diminishing. But I discover that with your Adamic race, starting out with one man's family, you have been continuing in a process of increase. And you have emerged from one man's family to all the great white nations in the Western world today. Aryan, Manu, Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic people, you're still, at this very moment, 1/6 of the world's population from one man's family, and you're not diminishing.
Someone said, well, they've got a plan to eliminate and to absorb us. God's got a plan to end all this, too. You know, one of the strangest disappearances of all time is going to take place one of these days when every evil and foul spirit that inhabits Babylon is going to disappear. You know, the great problems in our society stem from these unassimilatable forces of evil. And I point out to you that the reality of living and developing in the earth, the program of God's kingdom, is the most important thing that you can perceive. This is what you were put here for. This is why you're here. This is the only time you can be successful. Every time you start to synthesize your thinking and your consciousness with occupation and expansion for the strength of the kingdom, lifting up the standards that God ordains must accompany it, you're not only going to discover success, but you're going to discover that you become indefeatable in your spirit. You know, more people are defeated in their spirit by just absorbing the vibrations of the world without any perception or counterpart. Don't let them overwhelm you by the mass of things men have put together. Just recognize that our Father has been putting things together, and we were with Him while He put things together that dwarf all the things that man has ever made. I want you to recognize that when God selected you, it's because you were His household. That's why He declared Deuteronomy that you were above all the peoples on the face of the earth. This is one of the reasons why He talks about you, because you are His portion and His people, and He makes this clear. This is why He selects you above all the Hittites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites, because these are not His household. This is why the Lord makes the declaration that thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God, and Yahweh thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. And if that's not discrimination, you tell me what is. Say, why God do this? Because He knew who you were and what you were made out of. He knew you were His offspring and had the capacities to do what no other people, not begotten of His Spirit, had a chance to do. We come over to the book of Matthew, and you can catch a little pattern in the Word of God. God doesn't spend much time wasting an attempt to bring the concepts of His kingdom to people that have no capacity to understand it and are in league with the enemy.
They stood around and heckled him all the time, but this wasn't the area of his message. The 13th chapter of Matthew, he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And he said, I'm not going to explain it to them because I don't want them to get areas of understanding from my explanation and then join and create a lot of catastrophe. So he said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries, to them it's not given. Does he select? Yes, he says, I call my sheep by name and I lead them out. He turned to the Jews and he said, ye believe not because you're not my sheep, and I never called you at all. So he said, oh yes, he gave a general call. He said, whosoever will may come. There's no will in the devil except God through his offspring. He said, I call my sheep by name and lead them out. Let me point out to you that when he sent out his disciples, again, we have the testimony here in Matthew. He says, you go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's talking about Israel, rulers with God. Not talking about this pack of vagabonds today that make trouble all over the world and are the Israeli of time. He's talking about great and mighty people that would be great nations and companies of nations who say, our Father which art in heaven, who are the children of the new covenant as they were of the old. Let me point out to you then that in all of the instances of Christ's ministry, he makes it clear that he selects, he chooses, he determines. Why, he said, when I re-enter the earth, as we discussed last week, the fact that Christ said, I'm going to return to earth again. I'm going to come in with all my hosts and fleets and all the armies of heaven, with all the mastery of space. I'm going to give the earth its greatest majesty demonstration in all time and history. But he said, I am going to return to earth in the midst of your conflict to join with you in victory over the enemy. Well, you see, he wouldn't battle in this thing. Who told you he wouldn't battle in this thing? He not only said that he's going to come in with victory, he said, you know the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to violate the FEPC law, the Rumford Act, and all of the programs of integration. I'm going to tear up the civil rights program. You say, why? Because he knows, because he's God, because he doesn't make mistakes, he does it right. He said, I'm going to gather the nations and divide them. That's going to be the biggest day the United Nations ever saw. He said, I'm going to divide these nations like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and I'm going to say to the sheep, receive this kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world, and rule over these goats. And rule over them we will, from Africa to Asia, from one end of the earth to the other. And they're not going to make war anymore. Did you know that? Because we're not going to leave anything to make it with. We're not going to Geneva to disarm it. We're going to stay armed and rule the world. Someone said, oh, not really. Yes, really. And we'll rule the world from one end of it to the other for the greatest day of its prosperity in history. Someone said, that's a racial message. It surely is. Someone said, that's discrimination. That's not acceptable to the new frontier. No, it's not, but it's still discrimination. It's selection. Yes, it's selection. Segregation, yes, because they're going to dwell under the vine, under their own vine, under their own fig tree. That's segregation. Someone said, you can get in trouble with this. Well, we don't think that there's anything better than to get in trouble with this. I don't think they want this gospel preached before any court or before any platform over any national activity against the church in this land. Because we can take this book and confound all our enemies with it. It's the word of truth, wherein ye have great power, wherein they have no answer. Oh, yes. This is his declaration. This is his gospel. Now, we have a message, a glad tidings, a great joy to all people, because with this comes righteousness and peace and prosperity and security and plenty. And they're going to learn how to do and how to produce and how to create under the administration of the kingdom. And the powers of those that have exploited them and the evil masters of Lucifer's kingdom will have no power.
And even areas that have been ruled and have been blinded will prosper. Turn the devil loose for a few minutes and you'll have them all back again because it's not born in them. You say, what does this prove? It just proves that we have to take over and rule forever without letting them make up the decision. The only people that should decide are those that have the capacity to decide because they have the spiritual capacity for these delineations. And it will then be demonstrated quite clearly that it's the Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Someone said, you believe in democracy? No. Right now, I heartily support the program of the Republic. And my spiritual guidance tells me that theocracy under God and under His family as the great kingdom on earth is the best. So we'll work with this Republic until all the great nations of God's kingdom are synthesized into that mighty empire of Christ that shall rule from one end of the earth to the other. Now I can understand why our enemies don't want this. They live with vice, with viciousness, with immorality and corruption. They produce Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. We mentioned in our Friday night message an example of this. I charge that the State Department and the New Frontier and all that goes along with it are a part of Mystery Babylon's plot, and their evil anti-Christian advisors have degenerated, demoralized, and depreciated their stand. And the congressional committees have discovered and have now released under the investigation the fact when Mr. Sukarno came over here, his Indonesian State Department out of that communist country. Well, that's what it is, in league with the Soviet Union, testing its missiles, seeking to gobble up Malaysia against the interests of Britain or the Dutch or any white influence inside of Asia, and joining and working secretly with Red China. Now, the Sukarno State Department said if the United States government wants his goodwill and wants to get along with Sukarno, then they must provide him with some prostitutes to travel and sleep with him that will measure up to his desires. He wants a blonde-headed Aryan type, he wants a Spanish-type brunette, and he wants a redhead. And the United States State Department, my friend, filled with these Mystery Babylon leaders, went out and procured these prostitutes and became, therefore, procurer, pimp, and whoremaster for this Antichrist king out of Asia that rules his hour with the beast and commits fornication with Mystery Babylon, just like the Scripture says. And your government violated its own Mann Act and committed a felony when members in your State Department transported these prostitutes with him across state lines all over the United States. And a congressional committee has been investigating these, and these are the facts. Then, my friends, it's time for the entire Christian church community in America to impeach this evil. You can't just let this evil have its own way and say this is freedom, let them express themselves and we'll express ours. We'll express ours by saying you're not going to do this in our land. Someone said, what will we do with them? We'll let them all take a passport to Israel allies. Someone said, you don't have any right to that. Yes, that property belongs to us and all the other Christian nations. That's been ours forever. They're down there on it, but it's our property. If we want to send them down there, that's all right, because we know what the Father's going to do with that. Just like a great rototiller going through the land, getting ready for planting. The Most High God is going to renovate that land, drop part of it into the Red Sea, level out the front, turn the Dead Sea into a freshwater lake, and when that's over and that crevice is open and closed a few times, there's not going to be a Canaanite left in any part of the house of God. That's the only reason why I'd stay out of there and let them have it for a while. Besides, my friends, I want you to know that when you acquiesce to evil or turn your back on it and close your eyes when it's a violation of the standards of your race and your nation, you, my friends, have not demonstrated that you have a spirit of love or that you have a spirit of compassion. You've just demonstrated you're playing the fool and you have not the courage to take the stand that God wants you to take. I listened to somebody citing that what we need is tolerance. What we need to do is eliminate all tolerance. Right?
Get to the semantics of it. Go back to your Webster's dictionary. Tolerance is putting up with evil or something not so good.
Don't say you're a bigot. Well, I'd rather be God's bigot in a prosperous, happy, independent, and free land than be a tolerant fool for the world while I see my society and my civilization going down under economic bondage and mongrelization. Let's stop being afraid of words. And I'm going to tell you something. Under their standards, the biggest bigot of all time would have been Christ. Under their standards, the biggest force and figure in discrimination would have been God through this book. The strongest segregationist of all time would have been Christ. And since this is for the welfare of my family, my father gave this to you and I, says, I'm going to give you the earth for thy possession, and I'm going to give you all the heathen in it, too. We'll just take it. So it's not going to happen. My friends, it's going to happen whether you know it about it or not. Some of us are going to rejoice in it before it happens and work toward it. Others are going to drag their heels until they're caught up in the vertex of it. The only difference between those that don't appreciate what they're a part of and can't rejoice in it now is that they don't have as much of the grace and the energy and the righteousness and the power of God upon them as they might have, because Abraham believed God even before he ever saw this great race develop that was to come out of his seed, and it made him so happy to contemplate what God had promised that he worked towards this end when it didn't look practical, and God accounted his righteousness to him and said he pleased him because he believed him. So we have problems down here. They're economic problems. They're problems that relate to our everyday living. Well, my friends, they were every last one of them solved for Abraham, and they were every last one of them solved for Job, and they were every last one of them solved for the people of God according as their faith was placed in him. God doesn't want you going around here as beggars. He doesn't want you, my friends, lacking of the necessary substances to survive on earth and occupy it. According to your faith, be it unto you. Occupy as much as you want. God's given it to you. I find some people are always getting the idea that the ambassadors of God must be an impoverished people on charity. This is my Father's world. He owns all the cattle on the hills. He owns the whole universe around it. And it, my friends, is not separated so far from reality that he doesn't intend for you to occupy it. And when you occupy it, your stewardship surpasses all the stewardship on the face of the earth. And there are no people, from pagan on one end to the Hottentot on the other, that doesn't benefit under your administration. But don't you ever let the devil get a hold of it and keep it, because there'll be no room for you. I'm not interested in coexistence. I'm interested in victory, and so is the Bible. So we tell you, this is the word of truth. That you are the children of God. That you have no guilt complex to carry. His atonement consummated it all. He said it was finished. Now he challenges you to occupy and he returns for the complete victory which you shall share. This doesn't neutralize you. This charges you to occupy and possess.